heart of those who come to me and repent. And Allah says the greatest sin is not to despair. لا تيأسوا من روح الله لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. One day Imam al-Sadiq was sitting in the Masjid al-Haram, in the sacred mosque. A person comes to him with this question. He says to him, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ جُرْمًا. Who is the person that carries the greatest sin?
الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. Refresh your hearts and minds with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Psychologists contend that one of the deadliest feelings a person can carry is the self-imposed sense of guilt and condemnation. This is a very self-destructive feeling and induces much pain and suffering, and it traumatizes the life of the people. Our Lord that we worship is a merciful Lord, is a Lord who created us to bestow His mercy on us, to practice His mercy with us. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live healthy and whole, productive and successful in this life. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to break free from the past deep-seated lingering thoughts that always tend to haunt us and disturb our life. We are a human being. If we do something bad, we have a radar inside. We have a device inside that keeps telling us that you did something wrong. You did injustice. You did wrong yourself and others. And it would not leave us alone. It keeps banging on us day and night. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Allah takes an oath
with the self-reporting soul, and nafsul lawwama. And this is part of God's mercy on us. If God leaves us alone, does not interfere in our life, does not forewarn us, we're going to destroy ourselves right in the beginning. We don't even get to the age of adulthood. When we are teens, we destroy our life. But we have this self-reproaching soul, and nafsul lawwama. Because God wants to take care of us. God wants to nurture us and raise us in a nice way, in a healthy way, so we can fulfill our mission in this life. Therefore, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. God loves those who go back to Him. Tawbah is when you go back, because sin takes you away from God. And repentance takes you back to the same position, first position. This is the meaning of Tawbah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. God loves those who repent. Not only repent, when they repent, ultimately they're going to purify themselves and refine themselves. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحْرِينَ. There is a strong linkage between the two terms, تَوَّابِين and مُتَطَحْرِينَ. When you repent, you cleanse yourself. التَّائِبُ حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ. The repentant, the penitent, the one who goes back to Allah with remorse, with pain in his heart, with a new hope, this is the sweetheart of God. This is Habibullah. Not only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Habibullah. You can be Habibullah, the sweetheart of God. Depending on how long you want to travel, how much you want to struggle, are you ready for it or not? The choice is open and left for us. God does not discriminate. God does not say that I take sweethearts from this community, but I neglect the other community. I focus on this city, but I disregard the other city. We are equal in the eyes of God. Some communities try to portray themselves as God's sweethearts. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. Allah says, this does not exist with me. I am the sweetheart of those who come to me and repent. And Allah says, the greatest sin is not to despair. لا تيأسوا من روح الله. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. One day Imam al-Sadiq was sitting in the Masjid al-Haram, in the sacred mosque. A person comes to him with this question. He says to him, يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ جُرْمًا. Who is the person that carries the greatest sin? Who is the person that carries the greatest sin? Imam pointed to the Kaaba. He said, a person who comes to Hajj on pilgrimage, and he circumambulates around the house, and he marches between these two mountains, Safa and Marwa, and he stands in the two deserts, in Arafat and Muzdalifa, and he concludes the Hajj, and then he has doubt in his mind that God still has not forgiven him. This person carries the greatest sin. وَهُوَ يَظُنُّ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَغْفِرْ لَهُ. He still has doubt in his mind that I might go back home still carrying the same sin with me. This person is committing a major sin. Look at mercy, the mercy of God. Look at how He extends and how He infuses us with sense of hope, sense of salvation. It is never too late. I said the other night, never too late. One of the young people during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, louder. I need to hear a Dearbornian salawat. Now
I need to hear a Lebanese salawat. Because this is truly a Lebanese salawat. May Allah bless you, inshallah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have committed a very disgraceful and shameful act, unspeakable. I can't even mention it to you. So great. The Prophet says to him, Dambuka a'zam am as-samawat? Is your sin greater or the heaven? He said, No, my sin is greater than the heavens. Dambuka a'zam am al-ard? He said, No, my sin is greater than the earth. Dambuka a'zam am al-bihar? The oceans. He said, Indeed, my sin is greater than the oceans. Here the Prophet said to him, Dambuka a'zam am rahmatullah? Is your sin greater or the God, or the mercy of God? He said, Ya Rasulullah, bal rahmatullahi ta'ala. No, definitely the mercy of God is much greater. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kull shay. It has no exception, embraces everything in this universe, every sin. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So many people repent, but something wrong happens here. After repentance, they go back to the same sin. What went wrong? Why people go back exactly to the same, very same sin? Something went wrong. We have to analyze this repentance. Is it a true repentance or not? Unfortunately, many people, when they repent, they do not address the root cause, the root issue. They just try to fix the surface. I read once a very interesting story, one of the books, that a man who owned a bunch of horses, one day he was taking them back to the barn. One of these horses hit the fence and he badly injured his leg. So the man took him and tried to bandage him and heal him. It worked for the first few hours, but after that he realized that the horse is suffering. He called the vet. The vet put him, prescribed antibiotics for him. He gave the horse the antibiotics. He healed, but when he puts him off the antibiotics again, the same story happens. He was lingering. He could not walk. So again he puts him on antibiotics. He heals for a while, but again the same process repeats itself. Until one day he loaded the horse, he took him to the town, to the vet's clinic. They did a surgery on him. They found that there is a large silver wood piece that went deep down the skin, below the skin, and settled there. He realized that he was not curing the true cause with antibiotics. He was curing only the symptoms here. This is similar to what we do. Usually we try to cure the symptoms, not the real cause. Yes, we repent and sometimes we shed some tears and sometimes we stand before God, Oh God, I'm sorry, I have pain in my heart, I know I did wrong and I promise you I would not do that. But after a while the person goes exactly to the same sin again and again and again. We are not addressing the root cause. If you take your car to the mechanic shop for the same problem twice, this is an indication that the mechanic shop did not do a good job in the first place. When you go back to the sin, this is the manifestation of unrepenting soul. Allah says in the Quran, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا.
Honest and sincere repentance. Be honest with God. Don't try to kid God, to kid with God. Be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbatan nasuha. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, he explains what is the proper repentance. He says, repentance is not merely a vocal apology. Oh, I'm sorry God. And that's it.
No.
It's much more than that. It's not an utterance of astaghfirullah and feeling sorry and even shedding some tears, and the story ends here. He says, al-istighfaru ismun waqi'un ala sitti ma'an. Repentance is a name that has six stages and six levels. It's a long process. Long process. This is the genuine repentance. If you are true to yourself, you have to do everything possible to follow this process. You have to be patient. You have to give what it takes to go through this process. And I'm going to mention only three stages. One, two, three. And I leave the rest probably for next year, inshallah. The first is to feel the contrition. Deep down here, you feel the pain, you feel the sorrow, you feel the anguish, because you violated God's rules. This is number one. And if this does not happen, it means you are not serious. Second, وَالْعَزْمُ عَلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْعَوْدِ إِلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. To be determined that I would never ever go back to this same heinous crime or sin that I committed today. I would never do that. At any price. I'll stay away from it at any price. And I am ready to sacrifice what it takes. Even if the shaitan comes to me. Even if it is very tempting, I would control myself. I would not go back. Brothers and sisters, ask your friends who are smokers. Ask those who were on drugs. When they wanted to quit smoking and drugs, the process was very painful. Immensely painful for them. It was not easy. It was not an overnight decision. He wakes up in the morning and he says to the cigarettes, bye, I'm not going to touch you. A person goes through a very tormented process. Takes him weeks and months and sometimes years to quit. I read an article that says some of those people who were smoking and using drugs, when they decided to quit and stop, they collapsed. The first day they collapsed, they took them to the hospital for a treatment. But this is a good collapse. This is a positive collapse. This is a very necessary suffering. This is just in the short term, first 2-3 days. After that, in the long term, they're going to benefit. They're going to enjoy their life. But they have to pay that price in the beginning. And third, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam says, the third step, أن تذيق جسمك ألم الطاعة كما أذقته حلاوة المعصية. You have to be ready to taste the pain of repentance, the pain of obedience. Sometimes it takes that you have to stand before Allah for 2 hours. Sometimes it takes that you travel to Hajj thousands of miles and stay there for 3 weeks and keep pressing on God to forgive you. You have to be willing to do that. If you say this is too much for me, forget about it. No, I can't do this. Then you are not serious. The key for change, brothers and sisters, the key for transformation and change in our life, the important key, is to be willing to press past the suffering and the pain. In the beginning of your regime, in the beginning of the new diet, you have to be willing to press past the pain and the suffering.
And then, I tell you something very important. Sometimes, you would be surprised to see that your own soul rebels against you. Your own very soul tells you, this is bad, this is too much. Why are you doing this? Why are you depriving yourself? Maybe your spouse, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your son, your neighbor. They're going to rebel against you. But you have to stand the ground. You have to discipline yourself. If you discipline yourself for the first few days and you pass them successfully, then you're going to continue with success, with ease. It will be much more easier for you. Much more easier for you. One time I read about launching Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Launching the spacecraft. You know, when you launch the spacecraft, it takes lots of energy, lots of fuel for the first segment when it takes off. Most of the energy used, it will be consumed in the first segment. Once this spacecraft set free from the gravitational pull of the Earth and reaches the outer space, then the rest of the journey would be much more easier. It would travel easily. But only the first part, because there is a gravitation pulling it down, not letting it go up. After that, the journey will be easy. This is similar to our life here. There is a gravitational power here. The shaitan, there are two powers inside us. Listen to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, we created conflicting seeds inside insan. Conflicting seeds, conflicting powers, polarizing him. Each one polarizes him to its own side. And we live through this conflict every day. Not once a year, every day, every night, every morning, we live through this. It's a big challenge for us. Big challenge for us. That if you are strong in the beginning and determined, you can set yourself free. After that, the journey will be much more easier for you. Another example from our own life. How many of you here has a treadmill at home? Raise your hand if you have a treadmill. Raise your hand on this side. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, raise your hand. Okay, almost all of you. But here the important question. How many of you uses this treadmill on regular basis? How many? On regular basis? See, how many? Only 5 people here. We have 1,000 having it at home, but only 5 use it on a regular basis. Why? What is the answer here? You know the answer? You know the answer, don't you? Because we lack determination. We lack consistency and persistency in our life. We lack the passion. When we go and buy it first, we are very passionate about it. Because either we came back from the doctor's office, who said, listen, I'm giving you a serious warning, huh? If you don't do exercise, your life is over. So we go immediately and buy this. And we run on it first day, second, first week. After that, we forget about it. We get busy. We lose the passion. We lose the passion. When do we regain the passion again? When we go to the movie theater. We see our favorite superstar, our supermodel. She's running on this treadmill. We go back to the basement, to the garage, to operate the treadmill again. Because we were inspired by someone that we love. Brothers and sisters, the reason why we come to the sessions of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is exactly for the same reason of getting inspired
and getting the passion to be able to repent and reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sessions of Imam Hussein are catalysts for repentance and change and transformation in our life. They are an inspiration for us. I know most of you don't attend these sessions throughout the whole year. But it is so amazing that Imam Hussein is able to draw millions and millions of people. One time I counted that, because we have different time zones through the planet Earth, almost every minute within these 24 hours, there is a session somewhere on Earth. Throughout the whole day and the whole night, there are continuous sessions of Imam Hussein. Why? People have no time? People are busy. But it is a catalyst for change, an inspiration for us to come and learn, to come and repent. Imam Hussein has been dubbed as Ya Rahmat Allah Al-Wasi'ah wa Ya Bab Najat Al-Ummah. You are the wide gate of mercy to God. And this is why we are here. And we have to rejoice on what we have inside us. Allah created these seeds of self-discipline, self-control, self-restraint inside us. We have them here. But we want someone to come and cultivate them for us. And this is the job of Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt during these sessions. And inshallah, by the end of this solemn period of intense worshipping and intense devotion, you're going to receive the certificate of salvation from Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sometimes to change yourself and to set yourself free from your sins, you have to change the environment. You have to change the climate. You have to change the community sometimes. Sometimes you have to change the school. Sometimes it's because of a neighbor, a partner. Because you live in a bad place, bad community, bad society. Therefore, the environment cultivates and stimulates sinning, committing sins. You have to discover what is the reason you are going back to the same sin again and again and again. Sometimes it's the community. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes you have to travel out. Leave this house. Leave this neighborhood. I know many people who changed their neighborhood because they wanted to protect their kids against corruption and sin. They did well. The story that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates for us about a man, a mass murderer, who killed 99 people, and then he decided to go and repent. He asked in the community about the most learned person who can lead him and guide him to salvation. They brought him to a monk, Abid, monk, in the community. That was during the time of Bani Israel. He came to the monk. He asked him, listen, I have killed 99 persons. Do you think there is a way for me to repent? Do you think God will be merciful and He will embrace me with His mercy and forgiveness? The monk immediately said, no, you are crazy, get lost. You are a criminal. Apparently he was a Wahhabi monk. So the man reacted in a bad way. He killed the monk to make 99, to complete the 99 to 100, because 99 plus tax, you know. So he killed 100, and then he went to the community and he said, people, I want you to find me someone to get me to salvation. He took me to the wrong person. This time, they guided him to a scholar, alim, a reasonable alim,
alim who knows the circumstances, who knows how to guide. This is an art by itself. Not any scholar is a scholar. There are some scholars who are experts, who can draw you close to Allah. He went to this alim, the alim, he asked him, I have killed 100 people. Do you think there is a way for me for salvation? The alim said, absolutely yes, there is a way. Nothing is too much for God's mercy. Nothing is too much. And you have to be hopeful. But ask me, but promise me to be determined. Promise me that you achieve something important, and I promise you salvation, and I promise you that God will accept your repentance. He said, what is it? He said, you have to leave the city immediately. Leave the city, because this city is an evil city for you. The climate you live in is the climate that cultivates and stimulates and encourages this act of murder for you. You have to break away from this city. Go somewhere else. Go to another person. Go to another city. Go to such and such city where you're going to find some righteous people, people who could lead you to devotion and prayers and ultimately the forgiveness of God. So he decided to follow the instructions. He went into the direction of that second city, the new city. Halfway through, death approached him and he died. Once he died, there were two groups of angels who came to him. The angels of mercy and the angels of torment. And they were debating about him. Both sides said, he belongs to us. Angels of mercy, they said, because he decided to go back to God, we will take care of him. Angels of torment and chastisement said that he did not repent yet. He did not go to that city. He did not arrive into the city. So he belongs to us. Allah sent an angel to be an arbiter, a judge. The angel came. He said, listen, you have to measure the distance between him and both cities. Whichever he is closer to, he's going to belong to that city. So they measured the distance. They found that he's closer to the new land, to the new city. And here, the angels of mercy, they grasped him and they took him because he decided to go to Allah. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah does not focus on your faults. Allah does not dwell on you when you get knocked down. Allah looks at how much you travel towards Him, even if you did not reach Him. Some people say, I lost my 50 years with no prayers and no fasting. What shall I do here? I tell him, you have to make up. He says, but I don't have 50 years ahead of me to make up. I say to him, begin now. Make a vow between you and God to make up your prayers and your fasting and what you lost. And even if you do a little bit of it, Allah would receive you with His salvation. Because Allah looks at your heart. Before He looks at our actions, He looks at our intentions. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَشْكَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَنِيَّاتِكُمْ. Allah focuses on our intentions. Allah always looks at what's good in us, not what is bad, not what is evil, just like your father and mother. Our parents, when we used to do something bad, they don't go and publish it. But when we do something good, my mother goes to the community, wow, Mustafa today did something great. But she does not tell them what I do at home to her, you know. She doesn't. Allah focuses on what is good, brothers and sisters. نَبِّعْ عِبَادِي إِنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Oh Moses, go to my community and tell them the good news about me. Tell them. The ethicists, the scholars of ethics, ulama ul akhlaq, they say at the time of sinning, A sinner has to observe the three stages. He has to remember God in the three times. Of course, when we sin, we forget about God. We know this is wrong, but what happens to us? We get crippled. Rationality, spirituality gets crippled and shuts down. And this is a moment of forgetfulness. Al-ghafla. A moment of forgetfulness. This is the deadliest disease. This is the most dangerous moment in our life. The moment of ghafla, forgetfulness. Because rationality, the brain, the reason gets shut down. And you are overwhelmed with emotions, with lust. Thus, they say you have to remember God three times. One, before you commit a sin. Second, when you are committing the sin. And third, after finishing the sin, committing the sin. When you are about to commit the sin, remember Allah for only 1 second. Remember the ramifications of this sin. What will happen to you? Sometimes 1 minute of lust and fantasy breeds a lifelong suffering and pain. Lifelong suffering and pain. Because of 1 moment of lust. 1 moment of fantasy. It happens to all of us. So remember Allah. And remember that Allah may not forgive. Allah reserves the right of forgiveness for Himself. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. It is only Him. Sometimes Allah decides, no, I am not going to forgive this sin. So do not belittle any sin. Before committing the sin, do not look at God's mercy. Look at God's wrath and God's anger and God's punishment. That is the best deterrent. At the time of committing sin, remember that you can't hide. You may hide from people, but can you hide from God? You can't. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Allah can see, all hearing, all seeing. Allah is everywhere. We cannot go to a corner, to a house, to a room that God does not exist in it. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He's with you wherever you go. Go to the east, to the west. Can we get away from God? We can't. Remember that. At the time when the wife of Al-Aziz of Egypt, the princess, the beautiful, attractive princess, was chasing Yusuf alayhi salam in her private mansion and palace. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She fastened the doors, she locked the palace, only her and Yusuf inside this building. And she started running after him, from room to room, from hall to hall. Yusuf runs and she runs after him. They were having marathon in the palace. Suddenly she stopped. So Yusuf turned back and he saw her, she stopped. He said, Alhamdulillah, she went back to her senses, to her reason. Now she realized that what she's doing was wrong. He said to her, did you quit? You are not running after me? She said, no, I'm taking a brief break. I'm coming after you. Yusuf saw her taking off her dress and covering the statue in the palace. There was a statue there. Yusuf said, what are you doing here? She said, this statue has been here for many years. I like it. And I am really too embarrassed to run after you before this statue. I don't want the statue to look at me. I am too embarrassed. Yusuf said to her, Allahu Akbar. You are embarrassed of a statue and you are not embarrassed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where are you? This is just a statue. It has no eyes, no senses, no brain. Allah is the one who is watching us and surveilling us. You have to be embarrassed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is Yusuf. A story from the contemporary time. One of the ulama by the name of Mir Damat. a young alim who was studying in the seminary. During the winter season, there was a winter storm. The daughter of the king, she leaves her house with her friends. She goes to a party. At midnight, she decides to go back to her father's palace. She gets confused and she gets lost and she gets separated from her friends. And she wanted to find a shelter. So she came to this seminary, religious school. She comes inside the school, the door was open, and she finds a room upstairs, and there is a light on in the room. So she goes there. It was a snowstorm, it was bitterly cold, she wanted to survive. She knocks at the door. A young man opens the door for her. She says, "Can I come inside?" He was shocked. The man was single, not married. Probably he has never seen a female in his life. She said to him, "Please, please, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer." But she did not say, "I'm the daughter of the king." He said, "Absolutely, come inside." He allows her inside the room. He stands outside, but he could not survive there. It was so cold, he was about to die. So he decided to go back to the room. He offered her the bed to sleep, to rest, and he stood in the corner. He did not know what to do. If he goes outside, he will die of cold. If he stays inside, he will die of sin and temptation. He had a candle. They used to use candles during these days to read and recite and revise throughout the whole night. So he lights the candle and he starts speaking to himself. He says, "Listen, if you touch her, there is dire consequences. If you stay away from her, there is a beautiful reward. But if you touch her, there is the hellfire." And then he wanted to touch the hellfire himself. He started putting his fingers on the candle, and the fingers were burning. The first one for a few minutes, the second one, the third one, until he finished all the 10. When the dawn breaks, he realized that he had burned all his 10 fingers. In the morning, she bids farewell to him, she thanks him, and she goes back to her father's palace, and immediately she tells the father the story. "Father, not only Yusuf alayhi salam was infallible, we have some infallible people among us. And this is the story." The father was shocked. The father himself comes to the school. He wants to know the guy. He gets introduced to the guy and then he tells him, "The good news is that I want to offer my daughter to you in marriage because of your manhood, because of your fortitude, because of your righteousness, because of your fear and reverence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You deserve to marry the daughter of the king." And thus he became the son-in-law of the king. See how the reward is fast? Instant reward. This is instant reward. This is the reward in this life. And definitely he has a much bigger reward in the hereafter. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. What does it take to go to paradise? Do we have to donate our homes, our properties, our dress? No, it doesn't. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Just entertain the fear of God in your heart. That's what it takes. That's all what it takes. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Let me conclude here. I'd love to stay with you for hours and hours. But here we are to conclude with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But before I go to Imam Hussein, let me warn myself. This is the red flag to myself here and to my brothers and sisters. I have a friend who once told me
that I cannot use antibiotics anymore. I said, why? He said, because in my childhood, my parents induced me with so much antibiotics that it crippled my immune system. My immune system does not work anymore. And therefore, even if I take antibiotics, it does not work for me. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we cripple the spiritual immune system inside us. How? By sinning. By inducing our heart with so much sins, one after the other, and not getting the opportunity to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be very careful of that. Be very careful of the moment that your spiritual system gets it crippled and it crashed beyond repairs. Be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah narrates for us the story of Bani Israel. And Allah enumerates for us their crimes and their breaching of the sanctity of God, their encroachment on God's rights, one time after the other. And then he concludes with this beautiful conclusion. He says to Bani Israel, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَحْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, your hearts, the center and the seat of compassion and love and mercy and affection, now has been hardened and became emotionless, became merciless, became heartless. The heart toughens. The heart. When you want to say to someone, I love you, you point to your heart, you say to him, I love you. This is why we say, Salaamu Alaikum. You put your hand here on the heart. Huh? Why do you put the hand here? You don't put it on your pocket. You tell him, Assalamu Alaikum. You put it here. You tell him, this is your place. This is the seat of affection. Allah says, because of sinning, multiple sinning, an accumulation of sins, you reach a point that your immunity system collapses. And then the center of love turns into the center of rejection and hate. Hate to Allah and hate to the people. This is the mercilessness, aswatul qalb, the severity, the cruelty, the inhumanity of the heart. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, مَا ضُرِبَ عَبْدٌ بِعُقُوبَةٍ أَقْسَى مِنْ قَسْوَةِ الْقَلْبِ. When Allah wants to punish someone tough, the worst punishment is to make his heart inhumane. The heart becomes dead. The heart becomes dark, rusted, and veiled from God's mercy. Thus the Prophet says, قَلْبُ الْكَافِرِ أَقْسَى مِنَ الْحَجَرِ. Sometimes you can shock and move the boulder, the stone, but you cannot shake the heart of the non-believer, because the heart is completely dead. We should seek refuge in Allah during these nights. Oh Allah, keep our hearts safe. Oh Allah, keep our hearts healthy. Oh Allah, keep our hearts connected to you. Oh Allah, do not descend your wrath and your anger and your punishment on us. Even if we commit a sin, enable us to go back to you the same day before you go to bed. If anyone commits a sin before you go to bed, before you sleep, you have to settle your account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't leave it until tomorrow. Don't listen to the shaitan. Shaitan tells you, listen, you have plenty of time. Hajj is coming in 11 months. Register for Hajj with YMA. They give you a discount. And go to Hajj and Allah will forgive you. Say no.
Say, I am going home tonight. Before I speak to my husband, to my wife, I'm going to speak to Allah. I'm going to plead to Him. I'm going to say, Ilahi, I'm sorry. You are merciful. I promise you not to come back to this. Are you ready to be transferred to Karbala, man? Are you ready for that? This night is dedicated for Muslim ibn Aqil, alayhi salam, the first cousin of Imam Hussain. A soldier in Imam Hussain's army. A servant of Imam Hussain, alayhi salam. When Imam Hussain was in Mecca, he received thousands of invitation letters from all over the country, from Madain, from Basra, from Kufa, from Yemen, from Hijaz, from other parts, inviting him to lead the revolution against the unjust rule of Bani Umayyah. Imam Hussain wanted to assess the situation, so he invited Muslim, his first cousin, Muslim ibn Aqil, and he asked him to travel to Iraq to evaluate the situation before the Imam begins his journey. Why Imam chose this man? This man was wise and sage, and he was the confidant of the Imam. The Imam depended on him. He was raised, in fact, with Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam in one house under the custody of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Thus, Imam Hussein addresses the people of Iraq, I am sending to you a very special envoy, a very special ambassador, al-mufaddal min ahli bayti. He is the favorite in my household. He is my favorite. So Muslim alayhi salam, he begs farewell to Imam Hussein in Mecca. He goes to Medina, he begs farewell to his wife and kids in Medina, and then he takes off to Iraq. He reaches Kufa. When he reaches Kufa, as soon as he reaches the city of Kufa, hundreds of people gather around him and they vow allegiance to him. They swore allegiance to him. The news reaches Yazid in Damascus, Yazid being the caliph at that time. He had come to power only 2 months, or less than 2 months, in fact in the month of Rajab. So Yazid sends an urgent letter to the Wali of Kufa, the governor of Nu'man ibn Bashir, who was the governor of Kufa. He deposes him and he appoints Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad, a ruthless, godless mass murderer. Nobody knows his father. Nobody knows who fathered him. This guy was in Basra. Yazid orders him to travel fast to Kufa and assume leadership. So Ibn Ziyad leaves the city of Basra, travels day and night non-stop until he reaches Kufa. First he comes to the central mosque in Kufa. He gives a very fiery speech. He intimidates the people and threatens them. And then he starts searching for Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim was hiding in the house of Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubayd al-Thaqafi due to the espionage and the surveillance of Bani Umayyah. His place was discovered. He had to move to the house of Hani ibn Urwa, one of the companions of the Prophet and one of the close disciples of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wassalam. He moved to his house. He was in the house of Hani ibn Urwa. Now, Ibn Ziyad realizes that Muslim alayhi salam is hiding in the house of Hani. Hani is giving refuge to him. So he summons Hani to his palace and he asks him, he threatens him. He tells him, Hani, I want you to bring Muslim today. Hani says to him, Wallah, if he was under my feet, I would never remove my feet from him. This is a guest. This is the cousin of Imam Hussein. This is the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want me to give him to you, hand him to you? Are you crazy? He threatened Hani and he detained him in the palace. the tribe of Hani gathered around the palace of Qasr al-Imara, the center of government there. He sent someone, a judge by the name of Shuraih. He stood at the balcony. He said, "Oh people, there is nothing with Hani. Hani is safe and sound. He's enjoying the food and the drink. Don't worry about him. It will be only a few hours of interrogation. And then we would release him and he comes back home." People left the place. At that time, Muslim alayhi salam had to leave the house of Hani. He did not want to trouble Hani anymore. He left the house of Hani. He came to the central mosque with 300 people. Imagine 18,000. They paid allegiance to him in the beginning. 18,000. And now he's alone. So he comes to the mosque, he leads the prayers. When he concludes the prayers, there were only 30 people around him. By the time he reaches the gate of the mosque, there were only 3 people. Imagine, the number drops from 18,000 to 3. Allahu Akbar. See how people are fast moving away from faith. So Hani, Muslim alayhi salam, in this, under these circumstances, he was searching for a hideout. He could not find one. He started walking in the alleyways and the streets of Kufa alone, trying to find a shelter until he gets tired. He stands at the door of a lady. The name of this lady is Tawah alayhi salam. This lady was unknown. She was very ambiguous. Nobody knew her before that. But look at the thing that she did, her noble stand, when she helped Muslim alayhi salam. Look at the reward from Allah in this life. Her name, her stature is being celebrated every year by hundreds of thousands of speakers worldwide. She became a global legend, Tawah, because of a simple act of goodness and kindness. Remember what I said last night? Remember what I said about kindness? Kindness breeds kindness. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. So he stands there, she opens the door, she finds a man standing there. She tells him, "Do you need anything?" He says, "Yes, I am thirsty." She brings him a cup of water. He gets it and then he stays there. She opens the door again, she finds him there. She says to him, since she did not know him, she became suspicious of him. She tells him, "Ya Abdullah, I don't permit you to stay here. I'm a lonely lady here. And it is not good for me that you come, a stranger man comes and sits here. So please, I want you to leave my doorstep." At that moment, Muslim ibn Aqil stands. He says to her, "Ya Amatullah, wallah, laysa li fi hadha al-ahl misran wala ashir. I have no family, I have no house, I have no friends, I have no place to go." She asked him, "Identify yourself, who are you?" He tells her, "Ana Muslim ibn Aqil, safir al-Husayn ila ahl al-Kufa. I am the cousin of Imam Hussein, your Imam. I am the one that Imam Hussein dispatched me to come here. I am your guest in this city, but I have nowhere to go. My home is in Medina, my family are there, my ancestors are there, I am a stranger here. I need a place to stay." Her heart broke for him, she invited him to come inside the house. He stayed in the house. She gave him some food. He refused to eat. He spent the whole night in communion and prayers with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He took a brief nap. He saw in his dream his uncle Amir al-Mu'mineen coming to him. He's saying to him, "Ya ibn Aqil, ya Muslim, satalhaqu bina qareeba. You will rejoin with us. You will join us very soon, very soon." He wakes up, he continues the night in the prayers. And get out of the darb, the وصل بيات ولدهراع الحمية انقطع بيه الدرب ديك المسية وصل بيات ولدهراع الحمية يا هل هالبيات ما عدكم امية ترى من العطش قلب الفطر نصيا.
He continues the nights and the prayers until the dawn breaks. He stands, he realizes that the troops surrounded the house. He puts on his shield and his dress and he thanks the noble lady Tawa, but bids farewell to her and he goes to combat and fighting. He fights seriously. He fights blamelessly, and then at the last moment they dig a hole for him. He falls in that hole. They gathered around him. They started hitting him with their swords, and their arrows, and they handcuffed him and took him to Qasr al-Imara, to Ibn Ziyad in Qasr al-Imara. Ibn Ziyad started chiding him, reprimanding him, and then he ordered his death. They took him to the rooftop to behead him there. When he went to the rooftop, he turned towards the direction of Mecca, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam was coming towards Iraq, towards Kufa. He said, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." Historians say Imam Hussein was in one of the resting stations. He heard the voice of Muslim coming to him. He stood to the direction of Kufa and said, "Wa alayka as-salam ya Muslim ibn Aqil." He returned the greetings of Muslim alayhi salam. After that, Imam Hussein went inside the tent. The wife of the Muslim is the sister of Imam Hussein, Ruqayyah al-Sughra, and she had a daughter by the name of Hamida. Imam Hussein went inside the tent to give the news to his wife, to the wife of Muslim, and to comfort Hamida alayhi salam. He put her in her lap. He rubs her hand against her hair and her head. She turns to him. She says, "Am Aba Abdullah, araka tasna'u bi ma yuf'alu bil yatama." You are treating me as an orphan. He says to her, "Don't worry. Don't worry, Azizati Hamida. Ana abuki wa banati akhawatuki. I am your father. My daughters are your sisters." She says, "Ya Am, I know this. Wallahi, I know. But my tears and my cries that you are going to join my father soon. You are going to be martyred." فيبنى عقيل فدتك النفوس لعظم رزيتك الفادحة فلا برحت عاقلات الدموع تحييك غادية رائحة لأنك لم تروى من شربة ثناياك فيها غدت طائحة رموك من القصر إذ أوثقوك فهل سلمت فيك من جارحة وسحبا تجر بأسواقهم ألست أميرهم البارحة. Please raise your hands with solemn hearts, devoted hearts to Allah. Pay attention to this dua. I had many people today and yesterday ask me to remember them in the dua, in the supplication tonight. So let's very briefly and fast recite this ayah 5 times for the healing and the recovery of all the sick people, all those who have been tormented by sickness and distress. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 أمن
من يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله. اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. المرضى المنظورين اللهم البسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية عاجلا، وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات. الفاتحة مع الصلوات.